It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Aloha.
Yes. Just me and Chris this week. Jason is out. He couldn't make it. He had a prior engagement or something. I don't know. But virtual Jason is here.
And I'm like, hey, maybe you shouldn't be on that right now.
Yeah, so we'll hear from virtual Jason.
Do we have to?
No.
I want to.
Yeah. You seem to like the virtual Jason, so I loaded him up. Put a battery in him.
Yeah.
Boy, he stinks to high heaven, though. Just like the real Jason. Anyways, we're going to talk to Jesse Lee. Now, nobody knows who this guy is. I understand that. You may be thinking to yourself, why the hell should I be listening to this show where they're interviewing somebody, a musician I don't know? Well, the answer to that, I don't have a good one.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I don't.
Lord.
This is awkward. I don't have an answer to that. But he is a friend of the show. He actually is a publicist, and he books a lot of the artists we have on the show. But he thinks he's talented enough to be a musician himself.
I was going to say, is he on here to justify why he doesn't have a better interview for us?
Maybe that's... I mean... That could also be it. We don't know. But anyways, we're going to talk to Jesse Lee. Here's a little bit of his music.
Even if the sky decides to tumble down, I'll spend the rest of my life holding up those clouds. Cause I don't know what I would do without you. And I don't plan on finding out.
You were in a band, Chris. Do you want to maybe give him some tips on how he can make it in the biz?
Keep doing what you're doing, buddy. And before you know it, you'll be where I'm at.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. Eddie, Jason, and Chris.
The Eddie, Jason, and Chris show.
Yeah. All right, the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. Hello, everyone. We are recording this episode and broadcasting live the day before the 4th of July. So happy birthday, America.
You are aging horribly.
Happy birthday, America. What do you mean? You can't say that without sounding old? What are you saying?
No, I'm saying
Donald Trump's president.
Oh,
I thought you said I was aging horribly.
No.
Yeah, America's...
Sorry.
No.
Man, so testy. So touchy.
No, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You're going senile, America.
Apparently I mean, I am too, but it's fine.
You're old. You're 240 years old or something.
Right.
Like, your mind... is bound to give out at some point.
It's
sad, but it doesn't make it any less hard to watch. I mean, we had some great times. Civil War, World War II, those were a hoot.
No, those were great. Some of my favorite times.
I got just weird at Woodstock. I don't know. There was a whiskey rebellion in there. Sounds like fun.
Do you ever wish you were old enough to actually go to Woodstock when you like look back at all of the vintage footage they have and everyone
is absolutely
naked rolling around in the
mud? Yeah, I want to go to the classic. I want to go to Monterey Pop. I want to go to Woodstock 69. I want to go to Woodstock 94, actually.
The one that was a total meltdown?
That's Woodstock 99. I'll skip that.
Okay. I forgot they did two in the 90s.
Yeah, there's two of them, yeah.
Don't you think they do for another one? How come nobody's doing Woodstock?
Yeah, probably because Woodstock 99 was such a disaster.
I'll tell you what you don't see at Coachella is people rolling around naked in the mud because everyone's so worried about their makeup.
Yeah, and they're rich kids, yeah.
You're not gonna get
people don't get weird like they used to.
No, I mean, like, they should have a festival that's just a mud pit.
Yeah. Whatever happened to letting your freak flag fly?
No,
I think everyone's just freaks. Like, there's nothing shocking anymore. Jane's Addiction was right.
Maybe that is what it is.
Yeah, nobody's impressed by that. And it's just like, yeah, I'm here, got tattoos.
I don't know.
Am I a guy? Am I a girl? I don't know. Well, everyone's trans. Who am I sleeping with? Probably everyone.
Still, everyone should be...
a little coke, but I'm keeping it even keel, you know?
Right.
Not showing off.
Right.
I guess that's where we're at.
But still, don't you think everyone should be naked in a mud pit? I mean, that's what I'm getting at here, is like anytime you see that old footage of Woodstock, everyone's naked in a mud pit. And that doesn't happen.
The thing about the mud pit at Woodstock...
What is the thing about the mud pit?
...is they did not have enough porta-johns.
Oh.
So that's mud. That's human mud.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I did not know that side of the story. So you're saying that people are rolling around in their own feces a la David in Australia?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Now, I'll grant some of it was probably traditional mud. It did rain, and I'm sure there was a lot of dirt, but yeah.
Wow.
There were not enough facilities.
So people were just literally rolling around
letting
their own filth.
Go.
Like
yeah.
pigs.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, like I'm just going to poo and roll around in it and then
like
see what
sexy,
happens.
Sexy pigs with their
you know
full bush and their lack of bras and their loose sexual morals and they're taking the pill.
What, right. And, I think I was tricked into liking scat porn and I had no idea. So, thanks.
Yeah, well, you know, but, you got to broaden your horizons.
I guess, well, you know, already I apparently am liking
it. You don't,
it.
Yeah, you...
I had no idea.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Well, I think the moral of the story is...
If Jason was here, he'd be weird. He'd be like, oh,
he's like, what?
Porn. As far as I'm
concerned...
This is
the best you guys can come up with right now?
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah, that's it. Wow, it's like he's right here.
This is the best you guys can come up with right now? This is it.
Yeah.
There's virtual Jason. Well, yeah. since it
you
is...
Gotta,
yeah.
You gotta broaden your porn horizons.
I suppose so.
How do I know so. I won't, like... an electric rod shoved up a woman's urethra until I see it. I mean, I'm already here. I'm already erect, maybe.
Oh, good Lord.
We'll see where this goes. I mean, I'm not marrying this woman with the urethra electrical thing, you know?
Well, you know, let's go back to America's Birthday real quick.
I digress.
Let's leave it at that. You made your point, I think.
Did I?
An electric rod up the urethra. I mean, where can we go from there? But, you're going to have to send me the link. It is America's birthday, so a new 4th of July themed prank phone call. I'll just let this one speak for itself. Here we go. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
I was wondering if you could help me identify a firework that I can't find.
What you got?
All right, well, you know, maybe it'd be easier if I just light it for you. And you could maybe tell me over the phone. Here we go.
Hold on here. It's real, we're real busy and it's real loud in here, so let me try to get somewhere where I can hear you here.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay, I'll hold it out.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe I can hear you a little better now. What you got?
Okay, here it goes. I can't find this firework anywhere. I only have a few left. I'm wondering if you can help me out. Here we go.
Okay.
What is that thingy there?
That is a Saturn missile.
A Saturn missile? Are you sure?
Or a whistling bottle rocket.
Okay, let me try one more time here because I only got one more of these here. Hang on a second. Let me light it up here. Oh, jeez. Jeez.
Oh, my finger. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, no.
Oh.
My son.
Oh.
My son
oh,
just...
My
oh, no. I just hurt my son on accident. What do we
okay.
What do we do
oh,
now? What do we do?
Go
I don't
care.
Know.
Oh, God.
His finger is...
I've got to get back to work.
I can't...
Okay.
No. Well,
thank you.
No. No.
I think that's the first time that we've had the same person layered in him. Prank call.
Wow, man.
That's a lot.
What will they think of next?
I don't know.
I'm waiting for technology to catch up to us.
I know.
Right? We're making prank calls in the 22nd century here.
We are. I think this is what Alexander Graham Bell dreamt of when he invented the telephone.
Yeah.
If the technology weren't there yet. In just a minute, we're going to talk to the world famous Jesse Lee. Here's a little bit of what he does on the guitar.
To tumble down, I'll spend the rest of my life holding up those clouds, cause I don't know what I would do without you.
Yeah, there's a bit of what he does. He's a publicist, that's what he does, usually. But he decided to pick up a guitar, an instrument, and promote himself a little bit. Cause maybe he's like, why am I letting all of these people I promote get all of the limelight, get all the attention? I'm sick of this. I have an ego too. Before we get to that, though, thanks to our sponsor, HelloFresh, for sponsoring the EJC show. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone, from novices to seasoned home cooks, short on time. And HelloFresh, they source all their ingredients, the freshest ingredients, measures the exact quantities you need, which is great. There's no food to waste. Plus, you know, you don't have to go to the grocery store. Which
right.
Is,
who wants to go to the grocery store? It comes to your doorstep.
There's always an argument you have with your significant other. What are we going to have for dinner? You don't have that anymore. It's, right. They take all that out of the equation. And HelloFresh, they have two full-time registered dietitians on staff. Two. And they each review each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced. They deliver food to your doorstep in a recyclable, insulated box for free. And they're now offering light summer meals. And they just introduced breakfast options, which is pretty cool. Mm. That sounds great.
Man, that's fantastic. It's like breakfast in bed to your doorstep, if you will, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Delicious ingredients you'll love to eat. Simple recipes you'll love to, you'll live to cook. Get cooking. Less than $10 a meal. But yeah, that is great to have breakfast options too, because like I find myself eating the same thing for breakfast all the time.
Yeah.
If I have something fresh and new to come in, like a different egg dish or something.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm all about that. Less than $10 a meal. Why not? And
$30 off your first week of deliveries. Visit HelloFresh.com and enter EJC30 when you subscribe.
Yeah, EJC30 when you subscribe, all right?
What other podcast feeds you like we do? None other.
Yeah, we are like feeding America. We're better than any nonprofit out there.
Yeah.
I kind of question what some of these nonprofits do with their money. We're actually putting food in people's mouths here.
Yeah.
Literally, quite literally.
We're saving the world... one promo code at a time.
That's right.
Thank you so much, HelloFresh.
All right. We'll be back with more here on the EJC show, of course. Lots to get to. Well, so much to get to. Jam-packed show. Jason, of course, is out again.
Boo.
Yeah. Sorry to the Jason fan. Back with more on the EJC show.
This is Eddie, Jason, and Chris. EJCshow.com.
It's the Jason and Chris show. Hello, everyone. 1-888-99-ADOBE to call into the show if you want to do that. EJC show on Skype, though, probably the best way to do it if you want to say what's up to us.
When's the last time we had a caller on the show?
Well, you know, I don't know. We haven't really been too kind to, as far as every time we say, hey, if you want to call in, you can. One of us is like, we don't like callers. So then I think it kind of scares people away. But we could try to get callers.
Is that what scares people away, or is it once we have them, we scare them away? I feel like that's the problem.
It's like when I was single on Tinder all over again, for the most part.
Don't know what that means.
You never used Tinder? I won't explain.
No, that was actually after,
people out there get it. Jesse Lee, let's get him on the line here, our guest. Jesse, hello. Welcome to the EJC show. You're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me?
Wow, yeah. I would hope so. I hope we can hear you. Hello, Jesse Lee. You are not only a... world-renowned publicist, but you have your debut EP out. It's called Sleep Spent, out on July 14th. Here's a little bit of that for everyone to kind of get a vibe.
To tumble down, I'll spend the rest of my life holding up those clouds, because I don't know what I would do without you, and I don't plan on finding out.
Yeah.
Would I ever recover from you?
There goes a little bit of that. Hey, Jesse, how's it going, man?
Good, man. That's my saddest emo of all songs, so it's a good one to start off with.
Oh, I thought that, isn't that your big single out right now you're trying to push, right? That we just sampled?
Yeah, that's my latest one. The main single from the EP is TV Glow, but yeah, that one's also the one I'm pushing.
So that one's not quite as sad and depressing as out you're trying to tell us?
Yeah, TV Glow is a little more upbeat.
TD Glow?
TV.
Oh, TV Glow. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a little more sense. So, actually, let's hear a little bit of that TV Glow, because you mentioned it. Here we go. We actually have it right here.
A sign that I've been waiting. A sign that I've been patient.
Now, is it just you? Are you the only person playing like every instrument here or what?
Well, I wrote all the songs, and then I worked on them with my buddy Joel and my buddy Kyle. And the my buddy Joel is actually a producing wizard, so he did a lot of the electronics and drums and stuff in it. But I handled like the main, like, you know, guitar, and obviously I sang it.
So what kind of a deal do you have with these jokers? I mean, what if this song goes multi-platinum? Are you protected in that area, or are they going to come after you for some money?
Oh, I retain all the rights. Yeah.
Oh, that's smart. That's very smart.
Yeah. No, it was a handshake deal.
So where are you?
Those always hold up.
Yes, they do. Where are you right now in the country? What are you doing?
I live in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, good.
Yep.
And so, I understand you just cracked open a beer as well, as you have to when you live in Cleveland.
I did. It's a Viking beer. It's an Icelandic white ale. It's pretty delicious.
Does it taste like a Viking?
Yeah, dude, my beard's getting bigger the more I drink it, I think.
Excellent. Are you into craft beer? Are there like a lot of craft breweries there in Cleveland, or is it just mostly sadness?
Oh, it's lots of craft beers to make up for the sadness. Like, okay. You have to drink it to, you know, forget. But
people.
Yeah, I mean, I like craft beers, but like honestly, dude, I'm so down with just like Miller Lite or some crappy dad beer because I'm not like 21 year anymore. I'm not trying to like, impress anyone with my beer knowledge.
Yeah, I feel like you, or in my experience, I've leaned more toward the craft beer as I've gotten older. Like, I feel like when I was younger, I was more like, woo, let's get drunk on whatever is cheap.
Yeah, so, I guess I could see that. It just seemed like when I was younger, like, that's when it was, like, really cool to, like, be into, like, all the craft beers and stuff. Like, you just, I don't know, everyone just, like, was kind of snobby. And then when you get older, I don't know, just around my group of friends anyway, that's when we just, like, stop trying to pretend we're cool. We just drink what's cool.
I guess it goes, like, goes through cycles. It depends how poor you are at the moment.
That is also true, yeah.
But you are, so in addition to like all this music stuff you're doing, you're also a publicist. How many clients do you currently have right now?
At the moment, I have 7 or 8. I have to look at the list, but yeah, I have 7 at the moment.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, what you guys are doing, what you're doing is pretty impressive.
Do you ever find yourself tempted to undercut your clients? Like if you learn about a great lead, like, well, that'd be great for my little project. These other guys don't need to know that this major label is looking for hot new acts. So
honestly, when I started like to do this little solo thing, like I didn't even really want to do any press for it because like I didn't want any of my friends who are writers and, you know, reviewers and stuff to like reach out to me and do me favors when they could be doing me favors for my clients, you know? So like, but like, I did feel like obligated to at least tell people about it and put out a few press releases just cause that's, you know, it's what I do.
So you don't feel like there's a conflict of interest there?
Yeah, no, not really. Cause like, it's nothing that I'm trying to like really push. So it's literally just for fun. Like, it's just something like I've had these songs for so many years and I finally wanted to put them out. Like I was in a pop punk band for a long time. Once that ended, I just had like this like kind of surplus of songs that weren't really poppy or happy and kind of indie. So I just finally decided to record them and put them out.
Well, you're pretty talented. Have you considered just dropping your clients and pursuing music yourself?
No, nah, I don't think I'm that good.
Well, you're in this,
attitude.
As you described it, you were in a shitty pop punk band. So how do you go from this pop punk band to deciding that you want to be a publicist?
So I was actually in that band and I had met who is a business owner of Tragic Hero Records. I met him through my old band's manager. And, you know, we became friends on Facebook, just, you know, through networking and whatnot. And I was working this really shitty job at this law firm and I hated my life. I would just message him all the time, the guy at Tragic, and be like, dude, can you hire me to do anything? I just don't want to hate my life 40 hours a week. And like through a lot of like meetings and me harassing him, he finally took me on at Tragic as an intern, like a publicity intern. And then it just grew from there to the point where I became like the head of PR over there. And then they had a sister label, which was Sun Pedal Recordings. And then they also kind of joined Revival Recordings, like, which is Sean Mielke's from Alisana's label. So it kind of ballooned to this big thing. Like, it really started out with me just trying to just scrape and make any kind of job happen out of music, and then it actually turned into a career. So it's now, kind of half-assed backwards home to it.
Well, no, I mean, you found your own path. There's nothing wrong with however you do it. I mean, so your company or your is called High Road Publicity, and how long have you been doing it at this point? How long ago were we talking?
So I started with started with Tragic in 2013, and then High Road started at the very beginning of 2015. So we're into our third year now.
So you kind of left and took all the clients with you?
No, not at all. Yeah, because at High Road, at Tragic, I was only working the bands and the label. Right, so when we started High Road, I really started from scratch, and I was really scared about starting on my own, so to speak, because I didn't have clients built in, and that's why it took me a while to finally take the plunge, because I had kind of mulled over for a while, and I love everyone at Tragic Hero, and I didn't really want to dick them over. Like, I gave them all like a 6 months notice, like that was leading to give them plenty of time.
Well,
to, like,
what
you know,
I mean, what gave you the chutzpah to do that? I mean, like, you're leaving this job and you're like, ah, screw you guys, I'm gonna go start my own company. I mean, that's
Some friends of mine working for another PR company that I cannot mention, they decided to put something together, and they needed kind of like somebody to be on the forefront of it, like in the head position. And they really dug what I was doing with the label, and they came to me and asked me to, you know, kind of be their guy. And it was, like I said, it was super exciting, and it was definitely a really great opportunity. I'm super glad I did it, but at the time, it was really scary, because like I could have, you know, been working some shitty like no name bands and for like 6 months, and the company could have folded, you know. But luckily, that didn't happen.
At this point, who do you think your biggest client has been?
Man, like throughout my whole career, or just at High Road.
At High Road, at what you're doing now.
I think the band Me Like Bees is pretty big. I really like, they're one of my favorites as well. We did some work with William Control before. He was pretty big.
Yep.
The company, not me personally, but one of the other guys, the owners of the company, he works with the guitar player from Journey, Neil Sean.
Oh, good.
So that's definitely a prior company's biggest claim to fame. We actually all went out to Vegas a couple months ago to see them play at the Hard Rock and hang out with them, and you know, just pretty much party up and have a big company meeting.
Yeah, everyone loves Journey, I think. So, I mean, are we actually making money doing this job, or you know, is it
my day job, man. This is a day job. I don't have to put pants on most days, so that's pretty cool.
So you just work from your apartment, no pants, with your cat.
Where do I sign?
Maybe a dog one day.
How are you winning over these clients with no pants? Like, how do you like find people to represent with
no
pants?
Well, you know, the Skype thing's only from a neck up, so they don't see I'm pantsless. That helps. I mean, I have a pretty decent track record. Like, I work with a lot of emerging independent bands. Like, I mostly work with those kind of bands, and like I think I do okay getting them on, landing on some pretty large outlets, and you know, setting goals and hitting them. So I think that kind of speaks for itself. Like, I really don't have to sell bands too often. Like, I usually just like, I'll hit up a band, I'll hear their song, and I'll try not to be like a douchey industry guy and just say like, hey, I like your track a lot, you know, I'd love to work with you, like here's some bands I worked with, this is what I do. And you know, if they want to work for me, great. If they don't, I kind of move on. Like, I just try not to be too pushy or salesy, you know.
Well, now, when it comes to the reaching out to outlets side, I don't know. I'll tell you what it's like from my perspective. We get like a lot of emails from different publicists all the time, and it's a little bit overwhelming. How do you stand out? Like, how are you actually getting the attention of writers or like outlets? Because it's really hard to cut through all the bullshit. I mean, to be honest, maybe I liked one of your artists, but how do you, and then maybe that's how we started talking or whatever, but how do you like really cut through all the shit?
Well, I try to be like really personable, and like it's really, I feel like, more obvious than a lot of people make it out to be. Like, it's, if you just actually know what the outlet's into, what they cover, and like you actually take an interest in the person and realize it actually is a person on the other side, not just, you know, some like faceless, nameless blogger, you know, then I think you get a lot further. Like, you know, you just treat people like people. And I feel like that's been my biggest, like, I guess, attribute, is that I don't just, I try not to blind, you know, send people stuff. And like, I've even gotten to the point now where I try not to send very many press releases anymore. Like, usually I try to reach out individually to all the people instead of trying to, you know, blanket the market. Cause I'd rather get, you know, 20 really cool outlets that I really respect talking about my bands than, you know, 100 RSS feeds or something like that, you know?
That speaks to me as an interviewer, because, it may or may not surprise the listeners, but doing all these band interviews, it can be a little bit of a grind because, you know, after a while there, I feel like there's only so many different ways you can ask the same questions of up-and-coming bands who you have maybe two or three paragraphs to go off of and acquaint yourselves with them. And so, you know, it really matters if you have a band whose music you're interested and excited in.
Yeah, and like I give you guys mad respect for doing what you do, because like I know it can feel like a thankless job sometimes, and like I know you guys are probably getting thousands of emails from people just wanting you to talk to their band. So the fact that you even, you know, give any band that you don't know 5 minutes of your time is pretty awesome, because there's a lot of writers that don't do that. There's a lot of, you know, writers and interviewers and podcasters that you can, that's what drives me the most crazy, like, is that I will sit down and craft a very personal pitch to somebody that I know it's music that they like, and I'll follow up and still no response. It's like, oh, come on. Like, I'm trying to be a person, you know, treat me like one.
You want
to
kiss our ass a little bit more? Tell us more why we're great. We don't get it enough.
You guys are so handsome, and you're really good at your jobs, and you have great voices for radio.
Two of the three things you just said are true about me.
But I mean, yeah, it's cool. It's cool to actually, what I like is getting to know a publicist, because when we get a lot of, like I was saying earlier, like a lot of emails from publicists who just like send, you know, it's a template email. All that's changed is the name. And to be honest, I go probably through my email every morning and delete half of those just because I simply don't have time. Also, like, right. And I want to clear the inbox just so I can focus on actual things that I need to be focusing on. But, you know, it's good that you're making the personal connections, because I think that's what counts. And that's what will make the that's what gets you the relationships, like your client's placement.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like I said, like, I think it's way more important to have, you know, a meaningful connection with the writer than just, you know, hoping that they, you know, like the randoms, like the for fans of in their subject line, I guess. Yeah.
We just had an Adobe writer walk in here. Lauren, what's your perspective on getting a whole bunch of press requests from publicists? How do you sift through all of it, and how can people stand out? If, you know, we're talking to Jesse Lee, by the way. He's a publicist that we work with Adobe.
I prefer when they are not...
Get closer to the mic, please.
The ones that...
Closer.
Closer. Stop.
Seriously.
Get closer!
Yeah.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, there it is.
Good. Okay, the ones that I will automatically delete, like a no-brainer, are the ones that are... very clearly, like, my name was just like an auto form. Well, like, hey, Lauren, yeah. Hope your summer is going swell. Did you hear the new Coastal Waves today? What's your favorite track?
Now you're naming names.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to.
Yeah. That could be anybody. But just drop the press releases, really. I think you're just, like, email writers and people and outlets and just say, hey, what's up? What you can do is compliment them on a piece that they did, like one of their pieces that they wrote, or maybe a podcast they did, and say, hey, I listened to this show. It was really good. I think you might be interested in this. And that's all it takes.
Yeah, if you know that they like cover a specific type of genre or something like that.
But Jesse Lee's he's on this. He's one of the good ones that we're talking to. So this is like for other publicists out there.
Putting out a little clinic.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know why we're giving your competition all these tips, though. Sorry about that.
Yeah, can we can this whole podcast? I don't want this getting out there.
Yeah, well,
this is life, but
and yeah, this is the most listened to podcast from publicists, I think, yeah. By publicists.
This is the most listened to podcast that we are currently recording
in this moment. Wow. From this studio.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jesse, let's. Why don't we play some of your music? Unless there's anything else you want to say, anything else you want to put out there.
No, I just, you know, I really appreciate you guys having me on, and I hope everyone digs my new tunes, and you can, you know, get me on all the social medias and tweeters and stuff, and also please, you know, support High Road Publicity while you're at it.
And real fast, it says here that all the proceeds for Sleep Scent, which is the new release, will be donated to the American Cancer Society, so... Yeah, just one more reason.
Absolutely.
That's great. That's great. Good
now,
for you,
have
man.
You vetted these guys out? I haven't heard of them before.
American Cancer Society?
Have you done your research?
I've looked them up a little bit, yeah.
I don't know. Are they a top-heavy one organization, or are they... what's the CEO making?
Eddie, would you stop trying to impugn the American Cancer Society?
Yeah. I'm trying to join all of them.
Yeah, I actually found out about that whole stuff a little later on. Wasn't too thrilled about that, unfortunately. But I like to hope that it still, you know, goes to a good spot at some point.
Well, it says here that the only 16% or less of all money raised by the American Cancer Society is spent on direct services to cancer victims. And the CEO makes over $1 million a year.
Well, good.
You know, these organizations, they don't run themselves. So I find all that sort of, you know, criticism about like how much of my money is going directly to the thing. I'm like, none of it. If you don't support the infrastructure and the logistics of being an organization trying to have an operational function, you know, like it's all going to the cause unless somebody is embezzling money.
According to this website I found, the American Cancer Society spends over $400 million a year on salaries, $88 million on benefits, $60 million on professional fees, $17 million on telephone calls, $45 million on renting office space, $19 million on meetings and conferences, $29 million on travel expenses, $14 million on miscellaneous expenses.
Whew. You know what?
So you're saying I made a bad choice.
Eddie, at first I was joking when I said you should stop trying to impugn the American Cancer Society. Now I'm going to be serious and say you should stop trying to impugn the American Cancer Society.
This is just according to a website I read. This could be all false. But regardless of that, it is a nice gesture, Jesse Lee. And you
Thanks,
are
man.
16% of all of the full dollar amount of the debut EP will go to the American Cancer Society. Well, when it's all said and done, of course, you're donating all the proceeds, but once they all get through the thing, like 16% will go to the victims of cancer.
Don't take it personal, Jesse. Eddie's skeptical of anybody who's
helping people.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Sorry, Jesse, to throw you into the bus, but...
No, dude, I was expecting that, actually.
I mean, we have to ask the tough questions here. That's why we're journalists.
The hard-hitting stuff. I know, man. I know.
We are like Brian Williams before he lied. Before.
Cancer's like global warming. Who's to say it's even real?
Yes, that's exactly it. But no, it really is a sweet gesture. It's a sweet, sweet gesture. I mean, I don't want to take away from that. It's very... nice of you to do that. Cancer is a big problem. We should have solved that by now. I can't believe that we live in America and we haven't cured cancer yet with all of our brains and our minds and our resources. But
the problem with that is we talk about cancer like it's one disease, but each type of cancer is unique. And we have treatments for a lot, and dare I say most cancers, and quite a few of them are survivable with early
detection,
appropriate intervention. Well,
yeah, and then, I mean, of course, there's that whole, you know, conspiracy that you can dive into that, you know, there's more money in treating it than there is curing it. So, like, who knows if there is a cure out there, if they even want people to be cured, you know? I mean, that's some heavy shit. I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, it is, like you said, it's insane to think that we haven't come up with it yet.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty. I mean, why did you pick this organization? I mean, is it, do you know somebody with cancer who survived it?
No, my grandmother actually passed away from cancer, and I was very, very close with her.
Sorry to hear that.
That's okay. I mean, you know, it happens. People get old, unfortunately. But she was a very important person in my life. And, you know, and obviously everyone's been affected by that disease in some way. I mean, almost everyone's been affected directly, but definitely indirectly as well. So I felt like it was a good, you know, foundation that would just kind of you recognize the name, you know, you know what's going to. Like, I didn't want to go to a foundation that no one's ever heard of and then have to go look it up. And then I just wanted people to understand like what I was trying to help, you know. And like I said, I think everyone can kind of relate to that in some way.
Yeah, I mean, cancer touches like, what, 1 in 3 people, I think, is the statistic. Right. It's pretty crazy. Well, I commend you for your efforts there. And also, good luck with the debut EP. It's called Sleep Spent. It's out July 14th. And it will be premiering at Adobe.com, right? That's what I'm told.
We can make that happen, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. Why not? All right, Jesse, well, thanks. Good luck with everything. Looking forward to working with you more. We'll play TV Glow.
Hell yeah. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Have a good night. You think we made him mad?
I don't think we made him mad at all. No.
Okay. All right. Here we go. It's TV Glow from Jesse Lee.
Favorite movie.
Eddie, Jason, and Chris on Facebook. Facebook.com/EJC Show.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. Hello. 1-888-99-DOBY to call in. Also, EJC Show on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Tweet us. Let us know what you think of the show. We always love to hear from you. Blah, 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 blah. All right. So, I thought this is kind of funny. A Nevada weatherman, he brought his son to work. And
that's hilarious.
It was phenomenal. That's the story. Well, anyways, he brought his son to work, and then he asked his kid about his favorite fireworks when they're live on the air, and this is what happened.
Here's an actual customer out here. What's the best kind of firework to buy?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
He's going to get a spanking tonight.
Where are your parents? Kid's sketchy. Back to you guys.
You got to look out for feral children this time.
Feral.
They come out, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I like the weather boy.
What's going on? Yeah, what? I don't, that was a little uncalled for, but, you know, you're supposed to respect your elders.
All right,
I
Ted.
Thank you.
Awkward. Awkward. That kid does not respect his father.
That's, that male anchor, he made it cool, like, he gave it an out, like, yeah, yeah. And then that female co-host is like, weather boy.
She says it again.
Yeah, she's now, not helping.
You know that weatherman is going to be called weather boy from now on around the station.
Hey, weather boy.
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
As he's getting his coffee in the morning. And
that actually made me spit food on Jason's mic. I'm sitting at Jason's station today. Don't tell him.
Yeah, well. Yeah, yeah. Is that why you're sitting on his at his station, so you can spit all over the mic?
Yeah,
yeah. Give your mic
among
a rest.
Other things.
Right, David in Australia, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. So I understand, sir, that you have something happened to you. You have some sort of a story. Last time you were on there, you told us about this whole ordeal where you fell into a septic
Hold on.
Tank.
First of all, I would like to wish David a happy 4th of July. You filthy foreigner.
All right,
yeah, I was going to say, happy Independence Day, boys. We're a bit ahead of the queue for you, but it's...
We worked hard for it.
Thank you.
It's in full swing here at the moment. There's flags everywhere, and it's USA Today.
Okay, well, shout out to all of our Australian brothers out there celebrating the 4th of July
and
for
sisters.
America. And sisters. So what's the story? What happened to you, David? What's going on?
I have a story from this weekend. It's a different story, but I think this is much, much worthier. But it involved basically on Friday night going out with my family. So my mum, my nephew, and brother-in-law. And we went to see the football match. And I, you know, thought nothing of it. I didn't drink anything beforehand. I was having a really quiet night and stuff, and sat down in the stadium, and the person that was actually sitting next to me on the other side was quite an attractive girl.
Okay.
And she basically, this doesn't happen very often to me, but she hit on me quite aggressively. And
Can I stop you right there, though? What did she look like? How many nipples did she have, etc.?
Okay, so she was very attractive, and I was even thrown more off my game, so to speak, because I had my deflector shields up big time, because I'm not really interested at the moment, and I was with the family, wasn't, and I was...
Okay, well, describe what she looked like here. I just want to know, what did she look like?
Short, long black hair, kind of looked like Lauren a little bit.
Okay, this is weird.
Okay.
But go ahead.
That's an assimilation for you guys to know, but I'm not really, no one else is going to know what I mean. Anyway, so at the end of the first half, she asked me for my number. So I gave her my phone, blah, 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 whatever. And
blah, blah, blah.
I'll fast forward to the end of the game.
Yeah.
My family walked off, and she gave me a bit of a pash, which was fine, great. And she said, oh, we're staying in the city for the next couple of days, because she lived a little bit of a ways away, but she said, we're staying in the city for the next couple of days. Why don't you come and see me again tomorrow? So I was like, okay, no worries. So on Saturday, I went out there, and it was a fair trek. I had to catch a couple of trains, and wow, it was a bit of bullshit.
How long did it take you to go there? Because that's kind of a lot of work just for a girl that you don't know.
Yeah, I know. It was stupid. And while I was actually sitting on the
train, how long was the commute?
I said, why am I doing this?
Yeah,
why am I doing this?
What was the commute? What are
you
we
know
talking
why
about?
You're doing it?
Yeah, you wanted to, you know. Get your D wet.
Probably an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, my God. See, ladies listening, this is what your vagina does to guys. I just have to say. I mean, like, you'll go to...
I'll tell you.
Abnormal lengths.
Without getting into too much... Well, I don't want to get my co-host Jason in trouble, but he's gone much, much further
for
a booty call.
I don't think that'll get him much in trouble, further, but he has. Yeah. He's gone inter... State.
Yes.
Is that a word? Flown.
It was almost transnational.
And flew 3 hours to find a chick. Like,
oh my God! So you're not only are you going like?
Did she let you tap that ass?
Well, I think that we can't don't ruin the story, Chris. We're not there yet.
Well, I can't like it. Based, you can't ever assume things, but based on the previous night's. You know, events and all the rest of
what
it.
What kind of signals?
I wasn't expecting anything, but at the same time, I kind of had some level of expectation.
What kind of signals?
Selling you a timeshare.
What kind of signals were you getting when you were sitting next to her? Like, what made you think that maybe you might get lucky if you go travel an hour and 45 to go see her?
Well, the fact that she talked to me throughout the entire game.
She talked to you.
She kissed me at the end of the night, and then she told me directly, come and see me tomorrow. And I mean, like, you don't have to be Sherlock Holmes.
What kind of a kiss was this? Was it a peck on the cheek? Was it on the hand? Was it where?
No, it was on the lips. It was, yeah.
And again,
it
how many nipples did she have?
I don't even know. Okay, so I'll get to the
nipple count is coming up later, folks.
I get out there off the train station. I had to then walk an extra 20 minutes, right? And
oh
I got
God.
There, and I'm waiting out the front, and she's taking ages and whatever, but I'd spoken to her all day, throughout the whole day, probably 20, 25 messages. And then
what?
I get there,
and you still
everything
go?
Goes quiet.
Wait, stop for a second. Are you sending 20, 25 messages with no response, or was she responding back?
No, responding back.
Okay.
Responding back.
Okay.
There and back, yeah. So everything was, yeah, fine. Then when I get there... It went quiet. Then all of a sudden, one of her friends came down and came and let me up into the unit. And she said, oh, she's really, really sick, blah, 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 blah. She'll be out in a minute. So I sat there for 45 minutes and she didn't show. And then I went down for a cigarette. I'm like, all right, this is a bit bullshit. So I went down for a cigarette. Nothing at that point was wrong. Everything with the friends was fine. I was talking to four or five of her friends. That was all fine. I went down and they locked me out.
And they locked you out. Well, see what happened here, David. If I were to guess, I think when you were at the football game, she probably was just a little bit drunk, and then she gave you all of her information, her number, and said, "Come see me." Then she probably got a little weirded out because she doesn't really know you, and all of a sudden this guy shows up, and you know when you're, she's probably just like weirded out by the whole situation.
I can't cop that in a generation of equal rights, because if a guy did that, he'd be the biggest fucking sleazebag in the history of mankind. Like, you got to have... That's double standards right there. That means that chicks are allowed to do that, but guys aren't. No, I don't accept that.
Well, everyone knows that only guys are sexual predators.
I think there is a double standard these days, and I think we should just accept it. I think that there is a lot more risk you assume as a woman when you are reaching out to a guy than vice versa. Which isn't to say a woman can't be... dangerous for a man to meet, but it just isn't as there's not as much danger there, you know. And but Eddie, I guess that's a reasonable thesis, but I'm gonna have to call it into question a little bit, because they were corresponding all day,
right? And that's kind of what throws
she
me
had
off
like
there.
A lot of time, a lot of opportunities to
say no, don't come,
like hedge or
okay, here's
back
what,
out.
Here's what I think
and
happened.
And I actually, at one stage,
hang on, David. Sorry. I want to say what I think happened here. I think I got it. So you went over there, and then you're talking to the friend What I believe happened is, so she was so drunk at the football game, she may have forgot what you looked like. And then she kind of, she probably had her friend kind of vet you out, and maybe you weren't her friend's type, and her friend probably said that you weren't attractive or something.
That's what I think. And yeah, I think you're
right. Think then her friend is like, what are you thinking? And then that's where kind of it ended. I think that's what happened. You were screened by the friend who's probably wasn't in a good mood, or maybe she's a bitch. We don't know her. Who knows?
That is so harsh, because that means that the whole responsibility of everything going awry is coming down to my looks.
Exactly.
No. It's coming down to the friend possibly being a complete bitch, right?
Right. And maybe she's just like, you know how chicks are around their friends? They want to protect their friends.
Yeah.
I think that it was you were cock blocked. Probably because that, maybe she's jealous too, because like her friend has this guy willing to travel an hour 45, and this chick, no one's doing that for her.
Yeah, so she's friends playing Mama Bear, or yeah.
It's I see the reasoning, but it's nonetheless more comforting. Like, it's still a bit. I don't think it's disrespectful. That's all. It's just I don't know.
Well, yeah, we're not here to comfort you on this one, David. We're trying to unravel the mystery.
And there's no comfort
at the end of the day,
we're
not
trying
the show
to take
to get comforted.
A cold, forensic look and just analyze the evidence.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think we analyzed this one pretty good, Chris. Yeah. I don't think there's any further analyzation that can happen here.
I think there's one loose end.
What's
Why
that?
Did they leave him waiting for 20 minutes and then let him up?
Because they were probably arguing about how to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And like, what's the most tactful way? Let's just wait till he goes to get a smoke.
Yeah, but that was after they let him up already. They left him waiting 20 minutes downstairs.
Oh, they were probably just freaked out. They probably didn't know how to handle the situation. What they did was rude. I'm not going to lie. That is pretty rude. You don't do that to somebody. But at the same time, it's a weird situation.
You took
the risk when you decided to travel that far to go meet a chick that you don't know.
On the plus side, you kissed her.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Eddie. At the end of the day, it's a gamble, and it's the whole situation from start to finish was a bit strange. So I suppose if something strange like this happens, I can't really be too judged. So,
but it was an adventure, right? Yeah, and you still got And again, so just based on her top, how many nipples would you think she may have had?
What a strange question.
Maybe
why are
four?
You so focused on that?
Four nipples. I just wanted to see if she was in heat, Chris.
Is that like out of the star rating, right? The nipple rating? Four nipples good?
Four nipples. Four nipples good.
Four nipples out of five.
I was hoping that was the Jason laugh. Sorry.
That must have been an awkward football game for you, though, because you're there with your mom
and there you are,
your family,
like getting a hand job.
Yeah,
and that was the kind of uncool thing about it was that they were trying to have conversation with me at the start, at least, and then when they saw what was going on, they just sort of gave up, and I was kind of like, well, this is, I'm being rude to my family now by having this conversation, but anyway,
maybe that's karma. That's karma. It all came back to you.
But I did have my original story. I can tell it real quick in 2 minutes or less.
I'm sorry. What? Now you have another story?
Quickly.
Yeah, my original story.
Quickly.
So I went.
You already told us, so this is story number two from you. Oh my god. Okay, go quickly.
Okay, so I went in to get a vaporizer, right? Because I am trying to stop smoking, so I went in to get a vaporizer to...
Oh, we're out of time, David. Come on, you have to tell us this next week.
So
we have to move on.
One,
tell us next week. You have to tell us next week. We're out of time. I'm sorry.
All right, done.
We got
to
spread David out.
Reverb Nation? We need to do another round of that as well.
What?
Reverb Nation?
Oh, yes. We'll get to our Reverb Nation thing at some point here, but... All right, David, well, good to talk to you, and happy Independence Day to us in America, and you may vicariously live through us.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, boys. Lovely to talk to you, and speak to you next week.
All righty, bye-bye.
Thanks, mate.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I like how his voice gets higher at the end of the call. Well, I will talk to you guys later. Okay.
Ooh. I think everybody kind of does that.
Okay, goodbye.
You will hone in on anything to cut David down, won't you?
I'm honing in on anything to make the show interesting, because I really have nothing, Chris.
Just because he's got the hots for your girlfriend, apparently.
Apparently, that's interesting. Yeah.
You know, a similar experience sort of happened to me. Not the second half of that story, but I was shoe shopping with my mom one time. Oh. She was buying me a pair of shoes, and the girl working in the store, it was late. We were the only ones there. Yeah. And
Payless?
Like,
what are we talking?
Probably Payless, or what's the other one like Payless? Whatever.
Target?
That's not similar. Let's just call it Payless. This woman goes out of her way to tell me she thinks I look like Johnny Depp.
Okay.
And I'm like, thank you. What am I supposed to do with this information? I'm like, all I could think is, like, you know, that's my mom buying me a pair of shoes, right? Like, how am I supposed to, like, act on this unexpected and, yeah, thank you, Jason. This unexpected and otherwise delightful development.
I mean, yeah, when you're in front of your mom, what are you going to do? Yeah. Like, ask for digits or something?
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
Like,
but it really speaks to her poor taste to hit on the guy, like the adult man whose mom is buying him a pair of shoes.
Well, you know, maybe, I mean, actually that's kind of awesome, I think. I mean, she's not a gold digger or like a shallow person. She was intrigued by you, and I really admire it when ladies out there will make an effort like that.
And she was cute.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's been very rare. I can maybe twice in my life where a girl's actually approached me.
Yeah.
I've always liked it, though. Doesn't it feel good and refreshing? You feel good about yourself. Even when you turn them down or, like, if it doesn't work out, it still kind of, it feels good. So, ladies, keep approaching guys. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like in our society, it doesn't happen enough. I don't know if girls just expect guys to come to them or if they're too shy. Or
yeah, I wish the culture had flipped more. I know that it's kind of a thing now, and maybe we're just grotesque, Eddie. Maybe there are guys getting
approached. I'm sure that's probably it. I mean, what the fuck are we talking about? Yeah. We're no John Stamos.
Well, a cute girl did say I look like Johnny Depp one time.
All right. I was told I look like M. Night Shyamalan.
You look like a pale, unhealthy M. Night Shyamalan.
Right.
Yeah.
And some girls are into that. Not going to knock it.
No. Yeah.
But, you know.
Did you tell her you're unbreakable? You have a sixth sense for pussy?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes. And, I'm going to...
It takes a village to cure chlamydia. and so forth.
We usually do split the check on the first date. Okay, that one wasn't very good. Anyways, what were you saying?
Was I saying anything?
I don't know.
David called and I told my Payless story. That is the worst segue out of an awkward. What was I saying? I obviously. Did you think you were going to trick me and be like, I don't remember? What was I talking about?
Well, I do want to reiterate what we just said. Ladies, approach guys out there. If you see a guy you think is attractive, talk to him. Just do it.
Yeah, pop that top button.
Well, you don't even have to do that.
Walk on over.
I mean, you don't have to do it. But
it helps.
I mean, sure, it may help your confidence.
I mean, who are we fooling? We're all trying to
mate.
Yeah.
Because show those memories so I can see what the future offspring may or may not want to suck on if that is the health choice you make later on.
At the end of the day, we're all just trying to rub our genitals together.
And how.
Yeah.
Let's do another prank call for the 4th of July season. Here we go. This is a new prank. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
This is Stacey. How can I help you?
So how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I could do a little bit better, though, I suppose. I just wanted to let you know that I'm a bit pre-offended about something that happened.
Okay, what happened?
Well, it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. But, I'm just a little bit pre-offended because on Wednesday, after the 4th of July, there are going to be a lot of American flag items still out there, and I just don't like it when the holidays bleed over to the next day. So, Can we get those removed promptly after the 4th of July?
We have to keep ours up until we sell through them. I mean, we don't just take them down and throw them away.
Nah, I don't like what I'm hearing here. I'm a good customer. I spend like $15 a week there.
Yes, sir. I understand. But we can't just take them down.
You know, it's just like, you guys don't listen to the customers. You have these holidays that go on forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, like Christmas goes on forever. I got to see the American flag an extra day. What's going on over there?
Okay, well, I mean, we have to sell through them. It's just merchandise that we just want to try to sell through. We can't just take them down and throw them away.
And by the way, when you guys sell that American flag, where's the money going? Is it going to the government?
If you purchase it here, it goes to Walmart.
That's stealing from the government, then, isn't it?
Well, the government gives a part of it. That's what the taxes are for.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of logic there. Okay, I see what you're saying. But if you could just take down all those American flags after Wednesday, if you want, I can come on by. We can burn them in the parking lot.
No, sir. We're not going to do that.
It's okay. I'll bring like a little trash bag, some kerosene. My little daughter, she'll watch. She loves fires.
No, sir, we're not going to do that.
And if any of your employees wanted to help out, that's fine. We can on the clock, off the clock. You guys work that out behind the scenes.
No, sir, we're not going to do that. You have a great day, okay?
We're going to burn it all down. Burn those American flags.
Eddie, Jason, and Chris on Facebook. Facebook.com/EJC Show.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. EJC Show on Twitter. Follow us. Come say what's up. So, Chris, you're like one of the types of guys who likes to sing along to a song that comes on the radio when you're driving around, right?
Definitely. Absolutely.
Did you ever sing along to a song and like you don't really know all the lyrics, but you still sing to it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Lenny Kravitz, Fly Away, for example.
Yeah.
Do you think you confidently know all the lyrics to Lenny Kravitz, Fly Away?
Not confident.
Without ruining it, I'll play a little bit of the song. Those people know what we're talking about. This song from Lenny Kravitz. At this point, it's classic rock.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I feel like I know like 90% of the lyrics here.
Well, somebody on YouTube is a genius. So they took the song Lenny Kravitz and Fly Away, and they edited it in a manner in which it's just the lyrics you remember, if that makes sense. So they like took just listen to this. It's like not the full song, but it's edited so good that it's just the parts you sing along to.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes the song like almost make no sense, but it does at the same time because it's like everything people sing along to when they're driving around in their cars, because nobody knows the real lyrics to Lenny Kravitz, Fly Away. Of course, it'll kick up here in just a second.
I wish that I could fly, that I could fly, that I could fly, just like a dragonfly.
So that's not what the song really sounds like, but that kind of sounds right, right?
No, actually, I know all the lyrics. Like, I was putting in the lyrics, yeah. Like, I'm more confident after listening to that I could, like, karaoke this without the lyrics.
Okay, I'll play the song underneath to see if you can follow along with it. Like, can you, you know,
well, okay,
it.
Maybe not karaoke, but I feel like I could sing with Lenny Kravitz.
Okay, I'm playing the real song now. You don't have to sing if you don't want to. But
yeah,
no,
I got it.
You want to sing? I'll give you some echo. Test, test. Echo makes everyone sound good.
I wish that I could fly into the sky so very high, just like a dragonfly. I'd fly above the trees, over the seas, and all degrees,
to anywhere I please. Oh, I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm on it. I'm on it.
You got
word for word, man.
You got all of it.
Yeah, oh, I did.
All right, well. I guess that kind of puts this YouTube clip to shame.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, YouTube.
Schooled you.
Yeah, I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah, 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 Milky Way.
There you go.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Lenny Kravitz, did you see that video of him that came out, like, I want to say a year or two ago, where he's on stage, and, you know, he always wears really tight leather pants, and he had a guitar, and, like, he did, like, this dip, and then all of a sudden, like, his pants ripped and his cock fell out on stage.
Jesus, no. Why the fuck were you Googling that?
It was news. Everyone was talking about
Why
it.
Why did you... So you followed links and you elected to play the video and you to see Lenny Kravitz's cock.
I go where Reddit tells right? me. I go where Reddit front page tells me to go.
All right.
I like to go to Reddit and check out what everyone's talking about on the internet. That's how I know what's going on. But yeah, how embarrassing. But at the same time,
I don't know if you're Lenny Kravitz, probably got a pretty big dick.
I mean, he's
you're a rock star. I mean, he probably just kept playing and just like fucking incorporated it into the act.
Well, that's kind of the point I wanted to bring up, because the video doesn't actually show what happened afterward. And I really want to know, like, did he keep playing with his dick out? Does he like have somebody run out and put a towel over him? But like, if you're a rock star, you might as well just continue to go.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares?
Like, that's your privilege.
I believe Iggy Pop used to play nude from time to time.
Sure about that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. A lot of rock stars.
He'd always pop the top and do like freaky shit with his chest.
Oh, he's
like, he'd like rub peanut butter on himself. I think he cut himself a couple times.
He's done all of that. He's done all of the above. He's
rocked out cock out.
He has. Yeah, a lot of like major rock stars. They've done it. I mean, it's not a big deal, I guess.
Are there any sexy like female rock stars who have jammed out clam out? I wonder.
I'm sure I've seen Cher's snatch a few times, but it was just hanging out the side of her.
Yeah.
Thing there.
She didn't roll it up well enough.
Didn't tape it back.
Ew. For some reason, when you said Cher, I went to Sheryl Crow.
Oh, okay. What does Sheryl Crow look like these days?
I don't know. She looks pretty good for her age, I think.
Because back in the day, I don't know, did you ever think that Sheryl Crow was hot? Because I always thought she had a giant forehead.
She's got a five head, but yeah, I used to find her attractive, yeah.
Like just a giant ass forehead. That's all I could ever see from Sheryl Crow in the 90s. I don't know, but I guess she's hot, though.
So picky.
Yeah, she's hot. I'm looking at her now. You know, actually, when I said Sheryl Crow, I was more thinking of Alanis Morissette, I think. Interchangeable.
Oh, man.
Alanis Morissette, what do you think of her in the 90s?
Alanis Morissette's hot. She scared me as a boy. She put, she gave me fear-rection.
Fear-rection, really?
Yeah.
Why are you afraid of her?
Because, you know, she's got that angry, like, girl power, like,
yeah,
I'm pissed, feminist, I ain't taking your shit. And it's like, yeah, I respect that, you know?
And you're afraid of it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's how ironic, Chris, that you're afraid of her when she should be afraid, when she's saying she's afraid of you, but not really. She's not going to take it.
You won the lottery.
Do you know the words to this song?
I do.
Oh. Should we let you go with us a little bit?
Well, yeah, let's do it.
Let's play out this segment with you doing Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
You need me to back up all the way, or?
An old man turned 98. You won the lottery and died the next day. It's a black fly.
in a Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon, 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
It's so like rain.
I know there's a radio station dedicated to just 90s alternative, and I would venture to say that I know 95% of the lyrics of all the songs that are played. not the lyrics to 95% of the songs, at least 80% of the lyrics to all of the songs.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it.
Let's come back and do your news, then wrap everything up.
Okay.
It's been a great show. We'll come back. There's still more, though. Chris's news is very important. There's a lot of headlines, so don't move. We'll come back with more. It's the Eddie Jason and Chris Show. Follow us on Twitter, EJC Show.
EJCShow.com.
Yeah, this music is very intense. It's an intense show. It's Eddie Jason and Chris Show on Adobe Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. It's EJC Show. Come say what's up to us. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us. We're also on Skype, EJC Show. Add us if you want to be on the air. It's pretty easy. If you have something to promote or, you just want to, be a star for a second, you can be on the show. It's that easy. I know that everyone has their own outlets. Everyone has their own stupid social media. They get likes all the time. So there's no need for us to put you on the air or anything, but it's a different audience. It's a whole bunch of people that are not giving you likes on your Facebook or your Twitter feed. That's all I'm going to say. Is this how you reach the kids these days that are obsessed with social media? I don't know. I don't give a fuck about social media. Neither does
Chris. I'm getting too old for this shit.
I don't care. I really don't care about social media. We've gone over this a lot on the show, but God, I hate it more and more every day. Good. Anyways, let's get to your news. Good.
That's a healthy attitude.
Is it?
Or not, whatever, I don't know.
Well, Tim Cook...
Just trying to placate you, I'm just moving along.
I will say that Tim Cook, the Apple CEO, did recently give a commencement speech to some college graduates, and he said something, this is a verbatim quote, but he's like, don't measure your life in likes. So that's all I'm gonna end it with that. Let's go to Chris's news, shall we? Let's see what's going on in the news.
This just in. Well, I'm going off script right now, but...
No!
Yeah. Donald Trump...
This whole show is scripted, Chris.
Oh, sorry.
People don't know this, but the whole show, every piece of dialogue is scripted.
Yeah. But the timing is something you can't fake. You can't script the timing.
Right.
Yeah, that's all it was.
This is a whole thing as a radio serial drama that people have no idea they're listening to. I'm really an accountant named Larry.
Jiminy!
Anyways, what's up? Chris having a coughing fit. I love it when news anchors have coughing fits. It's my favorite.
Sorry. Let's see. Donald Trump, president. I'm just going to call him Donald Trump. I can't put the two words together.
Is this are we starting out with a commentary?
Well, I'm going to start out with the news item. Donald Trump tweeted from his personal account, I believe it was this morning, it might have been last night, from his personal account and the official POTUS account, a picture, a clip from his days cameoing on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Of him punching out WWE boss Ed McMahon with the CNN logo superimposed over Ed McMahon's face, so he's punching out CNN.
Right. We have the president of the United States. Punching out an outlet which represents the First Amendment, freedom of press and speech.
This is the president of the United States acknowledging and promoting the fact that he was, for a minute, a professional wrestler. We have gone full idiocracy, and I... Jason likes to bring up that movie, and I feel like those are, like, that's a reference that kind of caused me to eye roll, but you can't, it, like, it is so literally what is happening. The president of the United States in the movie Idiocracy is a professional wrestler, and now here we are.
It is, yeah. I mean, but not only that, for a president to tweet a meme or like an animated GIF or whatever the fuck you want to call it, of him punching out a news outlet, and he's singling out one news outlet. But of course, then again, he does also have that same freedom to express himself any way he wants. But it just it kind of disrespects the office that he's in, if you ask me. If you ask me, I don't know. The whole thing is just bizarre. The things that are coming out of his Twitter feed. Not only
it's
that,
crazy.
He was attacking MSNBC morning show host.
Mika Brzezinski, I think her name is.
Right. He
saying
tweeted,
she was bleeding from a facelift.
He tweeted something about how she was bleeding from her face at a party or something, and basically like saying that she had a lot of work done and that she looked terrible at a party. It's just very bizarre. In this day, it's kind of frightening, though, Chris. So, like, say you're like 13 years old and you're in middle school and you're seeing that the president's on Twitter. You're probably gonna follow the because you're probably on Twitter. You're probably gonna be following the president's tweets. So this is like normal to you.
Like, do 13 year olds follow the president's tweets?
I would admit. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's more the old people who are outraged.
I don't know. All I know is that my niece and nephew are growing up in a country where Donald Trump is president.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Obama was president? That was awesome.
I don't remember.
First black president?
I don't remember. That was great. I don't remember anything anymore. Yeah. We live in bizarro world.
Yeah.
Let's get to one, so that's Chris's commentary, part of the news. Should we get to some hard-hitting journalism now?
That wasn't hard-hitting.
Oh, well, that is hard-hitting. All right, that's hard-hitting commentary.
All right.
Okay. Let's
see what you think of this nugget. President Trump's travel ban went into effect last night. The ban blocks people from six Muslim-majority nations from entering the country: Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. But the Supreme Court ruled close family members of people already in the U.S. can't be banned. This includes spouses, children, and fiancés, but grandparents are banned. People who already secured visas will still be allowed. Those entering the U.S. for business purposes, students, and journalists might also be allowed so long as they have proper documentation. What do you make of that, Eddie? The travel ban.
I still think this travel ban is really discriminatory.
Yeah.
I mean, just because somebody's Muslim doesn't mean that they're a terrorist. And that's just like,
not even,
that's a basic,
not all the people from these countries are Muslim either. Like, it boggles the mind. Like, it's very offensive. It's very offensive.
Iran, Libya, Sudan, Syria, Yemen. Yet Saudi Arabia is not on the list, which is kind of weird to me because Saudi Arabia,
yeah, it's very weird.
Is it links to 9/11?
Like, yeah, more.
That's the
more
the
terrorists
hijackers
per capita who joined Al Qaeda. Like the foreign fighters, largely Saudi Arabian. Which is not to say we're advocating that Saudi Arabia
should
be banned,
but
it's just,
but it's weird,
completely illogical,
right? And to me, if you were to follow the logic of this, you'd ban Saudi Arabia. Because when you look at the 9/11 hijackers, they all had links to Saudi Arabia.
They were all from Saudi Arabia. They were all Saudi Arabian nationalists.
Right. And then we're not banning anyone from the country which harbored the people who committed the biggest heinous terrorist attack on the United States. I'm not saying we should, but it's just weird that we ban all these other countries for whatever fucking reason. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's arbitrary and stupid.
All right. Should we get to a lighthearted news story to wrap up the show?
Yeah, I like this one.
Okay.
This just is.
Oh, sorry. Wrong button.
That was all right. Actor Rob Lowe says he thought he was going to be killed during an encounter with a Bigfoot creature while filming his new A&E docu-series.
I don't know.
Rob says the encounter took place in the Ozark Mountains, which stretch through Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma. He says he and his sons were camping there to investigate a Bigfoot-like creature known to locals as a wood ape during a shoot for The Low Files.
What happened to
his
career?
Something began to approach their camp.
I was doing The Low Files?
Lowe said there are a lot of serious former military men with loaded weapons that something starts approaching our camps that is defying their orders to stop and their warnings that they were armed. He doesn't say quite how the encounter ended. He says he's saving that for the episode, which makes up the final episode of the series. Rob says he was lying on the ground thinking it was going to be killed. He says that he's fully aware the story makes him sound like a, quote, crazy Hollywood kook. The Low Files follows the actor and sons Matthew and John Owen as they explore mysterious phenomena across the country. The first season premieres August 2nd on A&E. You're welcome, A&E. That's a free plug for you.
You know, if Rob Lowe is doing The Low Files on A&E, this is how far he's sunk. You think he should probably come on the show for an interview, right? I think he's reached the level where he would now come on this show to promote The Low Files on A&E.
Don't denigrate what we do.
Well,
we're better than Rob Lowe.
You're right. We have like 5 emails from Rob Lowe right now in the inbox that we're just not responding to. The guy's a little pushy.
I would jump at the chance to interview Rob Lowe because I'm a big fan of The West Wing. No, in all seriousness, so like I'm a huge fan.
Really?
Like, yeah, I grew up on The West Wing. I read a Vanity Fair article from, I don't know, maybe...
You read Vanity Fair? That's a revelation in its own, but go ahead.
Not in general, but I was pointed toward a Vanity Fair article from, I don't know, six or seven years ago that talked about how a lot of the young staffers in the Obama administration in the early days of the Obama administration were
West
big
fans
and really influenced politically by the West Wing.
And these days, a lot of young staffers in the Trump administration are influenced by House of Cards. So it's interesting how things...
Full circle.
Full circle. Television is the great influencer, as someone important probably said sometime.
I'm going to say it was you right now. Just
all right.
July 3rd, 2017.
Quote
Mark it on your calendars,
quote me
folks.
In that.
Well, I won't this quote will, you. It's not a great
well,
sound
not,
bit.
Not telling you to quote me, but if you put that out of context for the entire show and just like do that, it would look good on a plaque somewhere or something. And I don't know. Just... Quote the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show, please.
Eddie, can I issue a serious challenge in the last seconds of this episode?
Sure.
I want you to make a concerted effort to make an Eddie soundboard prank. Because you got some great lines out there.
You're right. That should happen.
You need to call the files and make it happen.
Okay.
Don't sell yourself short.
No,
the world needs an Eddie soundboard prank.
Okay, you're right. But I always think I could just do it myself, but you're right. A soundboard prank is a different level. It's a different thing.
It's a different beast.
It's a different beast. It's like a wood creature approaching Rob Lowe type beast. But you're right. We'll make it happen. It's Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. Let's wrap it up here. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Happy 4th of July if you're listening before the 4th. Have a safe one if you are listening after. Hope it was good for you. Thanks to our sponsor, HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com. Use that promo code EJC30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. There you go. We'll see you next time, everyone.